He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday 7-7-2021. You'd think with all those sevens it would be a good day in the market. Well, it's pretty dull, to say the least. The Dow's up 5 right now. Oh, boy. Now it's up 3. And the NASDAQ's up about 12 or 13 points. S&P up 4.5. And I've looked at quite a few charts here so far this morning, not seeing anything that really excites me other than a bunch of sundry types of stocks. And I'm not really interested in sundry types of stocks. Anyways, we'll build more on this. There were some big things happening yesterday that I want to get to. This is Bill Gunderson, president of, not president of Gunderson Capital Management, not anymore. I'm a portfolio manager with Southport Capital. We've had a pretty good day in the market yesterday, but today we're very dull. Crude oil's up 9 cents. Not much going on in the crude oil market, $73.46. Gold, a little activity there. It's up $13. It's back above 1,800. It's at 1,807. Really surprising to see the 10-year yield down another 6 basis points. You'd think that would be propelling the NASDAQ and the tech stocks, but not so. The 10-year down 6 basis points right now, clear down to 1.31. Wow, we were closing in on 2%. We were getting a lot of predictions for 2% by the end of the year. I'm not seeing those predictions lately, however. Bitcoin is up $609 per coin today, but languishing around 34,804, not the lofty numbers it was back in February. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with portfolio manager, professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital. We had some action in the market yesterday. You know, looking back on this year, it's been a wild ride. We had the tech booming, high-tech, high-growth booming, most of last year, well, all of last year for the most part, from March on at least. It got crushed leading up as COVID started to advance. The tech stocks did not do well. Then they took over, and they ran and ran and ran until January, end of January, early February, and interest rates started to go up. And it took a big chunk out of the high growth, you know, more of the speculative side, I would say, of the tech field, which I had a lot of exposure to those stocks. Now, had I not done anything, I haven't really gone back and done the math, but I sold a lot of my high flyers for a big profit. On the other hand, ARK Funds, Kathy Wood's flagship ARKK, went down 40% from the peak to the valley in the space of about 2 to 3 months. You've got to ask yourself as an investor, do you have that kind of a stomach? Can you stomach a 40% downturn in an asset class like high-growth stocks? Well, you know, over the years, I've learned that I try to smooth those kinds of rides out for my clients, and I did take evasive action. And then what happened? The market went flying into reflation/value stocks. And you saw stocks like Freeport-McMoRan and Alcoa and Dow Chemical and ExxonMobil. Stocks that I normally call soggy, stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear, but that's what the market was giving you back in March, April, and May. I would say, somewhere in those 3 month, in that 3 month period of time. And it looked like it was going to be a trend that might be with us for a while. And it was happening in the small caps, the mid caps, the large caps. Everybody was moving out of growth and into value, which I haven't seen for quite some time. Well, I did a little bit of that myself, and I kept a lot of my big cap, large tech stocks too. And then in the last couple, I would say 4 or 5 weeks, it kind of began with the Fed and their threat to hike rates. But clear down in the end of 2024, I mean, it's not on the horizon. But I think the real fear, we're starting to see some signs of a slowing economy. And that's what hit the market yesterday. There were some weak numbers that came out on the economy yesterday, and there's some thought today out there on the street that maybe this boom that we saw as the economy opened back up has peaked, and maybe it's all downhill from here. I don't know, but we did get a couple of weak reports yesterday, the June ISM Services Index and the U.S. June PMI, Purchasing Managers Index Composite. Both were fairly soft yesterday, so you saw a sell-off, pretty wicked sell-off in the reflation stocks yesterday. You have a little bit of turmoil at OPEC. They can't decide what to do. Of course, you know, price fixing is illegal in any other industry. But they've been price fixing for years by tightening or loosening the spigot that pumps oil into the economy, and they're fighting over, you know, whether to cut or whether to allow more oil onto the markets. In the meantime, the oil markets are roiled. You're at about $74-$75 per barrel right now, and that's causing some turbulence in the commodity markets too right now. So you've got a lot of cross currents right now. In addition to this, you've got earnings season, which will begin next week. And this may be a peak kind of earnings season. You know, the earnings are expected to be up like 63% versus the same quarter last year. But we have a very soft comparison, because this same quarter last year was full of COVID and shutdowns and, you know, economy basically crippled, not moving, airports not moving, airlines, restaurants not being allowed to have customers in. And so, you know, it's a pretty easy comparison. So, you know, where to go in the market right now is a little bit confusing. Now, yesterday it was all about technology. I saw a couple of huge breakouts yesterday. Amazon broke out when they announced, well, they didn't announce it. We knew it was happening, but the new CEO took over yesterday. Amazon stock broke out like it was nobody's business. Go figure. And there's also a little talk, and I guess this happened, the Jedi contract, which was handed to Microsoft, is now up for grabs again. Amazon wanted a piece of that action, and they complained to the government, and apparently the government has listened, or got some reason they have pulled the Jedi contract from Microsoft. Right now it belongs to nobody, as they search for who should get that $10 billion contract. But Microsoft having a good day today. That's one of the tech stocks I still own. Amazon had that huge run-up yesterday. It's tacking on a little bit more today. And Apple is busting loose and running right into its all-time high at $2.4 trillion. $2.4 trillion. God bless Steve Jobs, who departed us some time ago, but built a $2.4 trillion company, helped build it with his inventions and his inventive genius. And so it seems like maybe this tech trade, in fact, when we come back, we've got a money manager by the name of Katie Stockton, founder and managing partner of Fairlead Strategies, said that a recent rotation into big tech stocks like Amazon is real and here to stay. Well, we'll look at that a little bit when we come back. I've looked at a lot of tech stocks here so far today. I've only found a few, and it's the great, great big ones, the mega caps, the FANG stocks, that seem to be about the only place where there's any action in the market right now. Well, we'll figure this all out. We got a whole 45 minutes here to figure this market out. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. But we've had a tough summer as far as trading and volume and trends and direction of the market. It's been all over the place. I mean, you just look at yesterday. The market was all over the place. You get these sudden surprises. You know, who would have thought that the first day that Andy Jassy, remember that name, Andy Jassy, he's the new CEO of Amazon, taking over for Jeff Bezos. Well, his first day on the job, the stock had quite a jump, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but you know what? That's the way it is. Bezos leaves his post. Amazon stock price climbs yesterday. Massive breakout. I think that was a new all-time high yesterday on Amazon. Kind of coming out of nowhere. Catching, traders by surprise. Another area of the market that a little bit interesting here, cybersecurity. The latest ransomware attack. They want a whole lot more money now. The price is going up to get your data back. And that's helping their cybersecurity ETFs like HACK, H-A-C-K. No, that's not a cough drop ETF. That's a cybersecurity ETF. It's doing well. Then, of course, you've got the individual cybersecurity names. They're not cheap, though. FireEye, F-E-Y-E, CyberArk, C-Y-B-R, Palo Alto Networks, PANW, McAfee, who, John McAfee recently committed suicide as the tax collectors were closing in on him. Norton, LifeLock, NLOK, another cybersecurity stock. My favorites are more, I like CrowdStrike, CRWD. It's hitting a new all-time high today. And there's a recent competitor to CrowdStrike that went public. Sentinel One is S. It's only been trading now for 4 days, but that's a competitor to CrowdStrike. And then there's one other one that Motley Fool. Oh, Cloudflare. I think that's Net, N-E-T. Yes, Net. Cloudflare, N-E-T. Those are your biggest players, I would say, in that cybersecurity space. My two favorites are Cloudflare and this new one, Sentinel One, and I like their competitor also. They're not cheap, though. You know, you're going to pay up big time for price-to-sales ratios, forward P.E. ratios, but that is a sector getting a lot of attention. Now, where the oil prices and the oil stocks land, nobody knows. They are soft again today. Yesterday, they got hit pretty hard as the talks collapsed amongst the OPEC Plus folks. XLE, which is one of the energy ETFs, was down 2.9%. Now, I was reading how much money's been flowing into the energy ETFs, record amounts earlier in the month, or last month, And they did take a hit yesterday. Some of the individual names from yesterday's market, Halliburton down 6%. Fang, which is Fang is out of Phoenix. Fang is Diamondback Energy. I always think it's Phoenix, but it's not. Fang down 5.9% yesterday. Oxy was down 5.3%. Rig down 8%. Not a good day for the energy patch. Yesterday, the Saudis want to increase the oil flow. The Russians don't want to increase oil flow, and that's kind of keeping this kind of roiled here, this whole sector. But $18 billion is poured into the U.S. energy stocks so far this year. Now, listen to this. That's more than at any time in a decade and close to three times the amount seen in the first half of 2020. Triple the amount of money has gone into the energy stocks in the first half of 2021 versus the first half of 2020. Of course, the first half of 2020 was very much tainted and infected by COVID, where during that first half of last year, you had oil prices go negative for a while. And, of course, people were not driving. Businessmen were not traveling. Businesswomen were not traveling. And that really hurt oil prices last year. Now, a well-known energy trader and founding partner of Again Capital said Tuesday that he doesn't expect crude to reach $100 a barrel. There had been some calls for that from some big firms. But he did say he expects to see a level of around $80 to $85 a barrel. Well, that would be pretty bullish for the oil stocks going forward. I'm just noticing as I go through my daily walk through the market, I keep notes on stocks that catch my eye. The oil stocks are not showing up anymore like they were, you know, for a few months there. So I don't know if this run in oil is over. I still have some exposure to the oil stocks. I plan on keeping my exposure to the oil stocks, but I'm also watching them very, very closely. Another thing that we got to watch really closely in the second half of this year, and this may be part of the squishiness in the market right now, we got to watch fiscal policy. The last change to fiscal policy was a positive change for the market. We had then President Trump lowering corporate taxes from 28 to 21. Well, Janet Yellen weighed in yesterday, and she obviously very much a hawk on taxes. She would love to see tax hikes. Janet Yellen will push for a global minimum tax rate over 15%. That's according to Reuters. This is something we got to watch because it will impact earnings of the indexes around the world, including the S&P 500, the Dow, the NASDAQ, the Russell 2000, etc. And it will take a bite out of earnings, which will take a bite out of the index prices. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will urge her G20 counterparts to back a global minimum corporate tax rate above the 15% floor agreed to by 130 countries last week, Reuters reported. You see what I mean? Janet Yellen is not your friend if you're looking for taxes to remain the same. She's not happy with the 15% floor. She wants more than that. Last month, Group of Seven finance ministers committed to adopt a global minimum tax rate of at least 15%. But, of course, it's going to be hard to, you know, get everybody to cooperate. It's kind of like OPEC, right, getting everyone to cooperate. They've always used tax rates and lower tax rates to lure companies into their country, etc. But suffice it to say, maybe you're going to get the minimum tax rate up to 15 and the U.S. corporate from 21 to 28. And Janet Yellen calling for a minimum tax of 21% on corporations worldwide. What will it be? Well, it's going to be something, and it will have an impact on the market. We need to keep our eye on it. We'll be right back. This is... Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Wow, the Dow has taken a turn for the worse now, down 125. I think there's some worry about a slowdown in the economy. Look at the money moving into the bond market, which generally speaking is a flight to safety. The bond market down to 1.29%. 1.29. It was approaching 2 back in February, and that has set off a little rally in the tech stocks, but that rally is not following through today. The S&P 500 is now down 5 points, and the NASDAQ is now down 16. But on a relative basis, the NASDAQ is performing a little better than the Dow stocks today. China. Yesterday, the Chinese stocks. Can we ever trust the Chinese stocks again? I don't know. You know, that company that was involved in the controversy of, storing data and whatnot, was their version of Uber. So that's a large company out of China, this Didi symbol, D-I-D-I. That's their ride-sharing giant, China's equivalent to Uber. It underwent a market plunge yesterday. The Beijing-headquartered firm with over 550 million users and tens of millions of drivers is amid a crackdown put together from China on big data, requiring U.S.-listed Chinese companies to be removed from app stores worldwide. Well, you know what? I mean, who's going to use Uber or Lyft if the app isn't on your phone? You're going to call them, you know? I mean, this is a huge blow to Didi. China seems to be shooting their stocks in their own foot. They did it with Alibaba. They've done it with Tencent. They've done it with others. I just think a lot of investors are totally losing any kind of... It takes more than faith. It takes more than confidence to invest in China these days. You got to take a leap of faith in a Chinese stock. They have the big scandal, of course, with their solar industry and maybe using forced labor to create some of the polysilicon used in those panels. You've had the crackdown on Alibaba and Jack Ma and Ant Financial, and it goes on. Just when the Chinese stocks looked like they were getting to rally, now you've got this big scandal. Let's not forget Luckin Coffee, too, which was supposedly their next Starbucks. They are losing a lot of credibility here in the global markets. And, I'm not so sure it doesn't hurt the overall markets, too. There's a lot of U.S. money in mutual funds and ETFs. And amongst individual investors, it's invested in Chinese stocks. But, boy, I'll tell you what. In fact, Short Hills Capital, Steve Weiss says, I would not own Chinese stocks. Again, he is the managing partner of Short Hills Capital, saying he would not own Chinese stocks again because of the regulatory risk that comes with that country's government. You know, that's the crazy part of it. It's the Chinese government, not our government. It's the Chinese government that's cracking down on these companies. China Wield's a pretty big club in the markets. Look what they did to cryptocurrencies. They cracked down on the crypto miners in China. Said, you got to get out of here. You got to shut down, which is causing the crypto miners to flee to other countries that are friendlier towards these crypto miners. But China's actions, you know, cut the price of Bitcoin. It wasn't just that. It wasn't just that, but other ones have been hurt too. So anyways, not a good environment right now for Chinese stocks, and that means the electric vehicle stocks, which were just perking up, NIO, Baidu, NetEase, Pinduoduo, PDD, etc. Rough times for Chinese stocks. I would avoid them myself. Well, we're going to be able to hear Megyn Kelly again. Now, I was on the Megyn Kelly show back when she was a Fox host on the Fox News Channel. Sirius Satellite has signed former Fox and NBC anchor Megyn Kelly to an exclusive deal for a live talk program starting this fall. You know, I need to write a little letter or text message or email to Sirius saying, hey, I'm available. If you want to run my show there on Sirius, I'm available for a, you know, an exclusive, if you want exclusive rights to the Best Stocks Now show. Anyways, Megyn Kelly, starting September the 7th. That's a pretty good gig that she got there. China Central Bank shuts down software maker over cryptocurrency trading. Here we go again in China. I think I would just stay away. How about Nextdoor? Are you going to be an investor in Nextdoor? I do have the Nextdoor app, and I do see alerts. So it's usually about, you know, don't let your dogs go on my lawn and things like this. You know, occasionally there might be something about a break-in or something like this. But Nextdoor agreed Tuesday to go public via a SPAC deal. Well, I wish I would have come up with this idea of Nextdoor. The CEO is going to be very wealthy, and the investors in it. It's going to be about a $3 to $4 billion company, and it's being backed in part by Cathie Wood's ARK investment funds. Now, I just don't know if people are going to advertise on Nextdoor. I suppose, I mean, that's where the value is in that stock. So we will be seeing Nextdoor. It's public now. It's KVSB. KVSB, that's the SPAC. But I think they'll change the symbol once it's official and they make the Nextdoor deal. What else do we have? Generac. Boy, I've been watching that stock recently with the heat wave out west, with energy prices soaring, with a hurricane, kind of a hurricane, bearing down on Florida, going to hit us on Thursday up here in the South Carolina area. That has got Generac's generator sales booming. I have a little Generac. I have two Generac generators. I have one that kicks on. It runs on propane. We have a big propane tank here at our house. And if the power goes off, you know, the propane and the Generac kick on, we hope, you know. And then we have a solar Generac, too, just in case there's nothing else. Of course, you can't have a cloudy day either, can you? Another big thing you got to watch going forward in investing, this is coming up almost on a daily basis. They're giving companies ESG scores. I'm sure you've heard of this. This is going to be very, very important. There's going to be teachers' unions and pension funds and whatnot not investing in companies if they don't have a high ESG score. Well, Blackstone is acquiring a company for $1.4 billion, a company that provides environmental social and governance software. That's what ESG stands for. Number one, you get a score on your how you treat the environment. So I got to believe a strip miner is not probably going to do very well in that score, or an oil drilling company out of Texas or whatnot. And then, of course, your social score. And lastly, your governance score. And they're going to look at things like diversity and, you know, the kind of different rules you have at your company. And they're going to look at executive pay and all this kind of thing. And you're going to get an ESG score. This is already happening big time. And you're going to have to watch it. Now, the software I use that has all the data that I do on stocks, I'm going to have to add ESG to the app. ESG is going to have to be part of the app because it's now data that is out there, and it's going to be more critical. Now, when we come back, we'll have our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. With the Dow down 90 today, interest rates down to 1.30. You've got the 30-year yield now under 2% at 1.92. It's breaking all support. The NASDAQ is now down 48, so light volume, very light volume. We've been seeing that now really since summer started. And that continues to be a trend. It's really hard to get any kind of a trend to stick right now. You'll get a 1 or 2 day, maybe a 2 week trend, and then that disappears. So it's kind of a frustrating time in the market, but it always works its way out one way or another. Okay, my featured stock of the day. You know, you wonder whether to feature a tech stock or a reflation stock, so I'm going to kind of pick one in the middle here. It is a tech stock in ways, and it's a reflation stock in ways, and it's had just enormous earnings growth for a large cap company. And I have done very, very well with this stock. Charter Communications, which is CHTR, CHTR. This is a $138 billion company. A lot of you are familiar, especially on the Eastern Seaboard, with Charter, as they are a cable, TV, internet, on-demand video programming, and voice services in 25 states. This has been a really good holding that we've had, and we continue to own. It's also still a very good value. Okay, the stock's hitting new all-time highs. We own it in our premier growth portfolio. And it's ranked number 31 still overall out of 5,865. Now, how does it get that rating? Well, it has to meet my valuation criteria, and it has to meet my performance criteria. Otherwise known as momentum criteria. Charter currently has a momentum grade of A-. Okay, so that there's not a lot. My list of momentum stocks has really shrunk here recently. I'm down to just about 200 or so. At one point in time, earlier this year, we had over 1,000 momentum, A-plus or better momentum stocks. That's how you've seen this momentum come out of the market. When you have such a very narrow market, you know, a lot of these momentum stocks today are like various and sundry kind of weird stocks from here or there, like Jack's Pacific or Chico's, you know, not really investable companies, okay? And there's very few sectors that have much momentum and can maintain. It's not sustainable. The momentum in these stocks and sectors is very fleeting. Just when you think you might have a trend, the trend disappears. But the trend remains in Charter Communications. The symbol is CHTR. Let's see, in the Investor's Business Daily, it only has a relative strength of 67, but it's very strong in my momentum rankings. In fact, over the last 3 months, the stock's up 19%, while the market's up 6.5%. Now, valuation. You know, valuation, it's hard to say. Valuation meant nothing last year and earlier this year, and then all of a sudden, when interest rates started to go higher, the investors were keen on valuation, especially price to sales. And it really was one of the ratios that drove the bus for a couple of months in the market. And then as interest rates started to go back down, valuation kind of took a back seat once again. It's a crazy year as the higher P.E. stocks started to move again. Not the really high P.E. ones, but kind of the ones that were more of the quality high P.E. stocks, the large caps, mega caps. Now, that trend looks like it may be starting to falter once again, even with these low interest rates. Well, Charter's a cheap stock. It has a price-to-sales ratio of 3.2. It has a PEG ratio, that's calculated by dividing its forward PE into its five-year growth rate. I like it around 1. It's at 1.17. That gives me a $1,459 target price on Charter. It's currently trading at $733, so significant upside potential, underline potential. It's potential. There's no guarantees. And you also look at the longer-term performance of Charter. Over the last 10 years, an investment in Charter has delivered to investors a 28% annualized return, while the market's delivered 12.7. That's called alpha. We're seeking alpha. It's really hard to find right now. It's extremely hard to find right now. Last year, it was there, but you still had to look pretty hard to find it. This year, it is very elusive. But Charter has delivered alpha over the last 10 years, significant alpha. It's delivered alpha over the last 5 years, and it's delivered big alpha over the last 3 years. Let's hope it continues to deliver alpha. We own it in our Best Stocks Now premium growth portfolio. Okay. If you'd like to talk to us about money management, you know, I was looking at those high P.E. stocks. That ARK fund went through a 40% sell-off earlier this year, 40% sell-off. Now, I don't have a stomach for that, nor do the people that invest with me. I stepped aside when that sell-off started and took a lot of profits in that area of the market. I did not ride down 35-40% in those high tech stocks. And then I started getting back into a few, but I kept all my big main ones for the most part. I did sell a few that I wish I would not have sold. But we're just kind of in a holding pattern right now, hanging on to last year's gains, waiting for some new trends to develop here, and I think they will. You'd like to talk with us, 855-611-BEST. And if you wonder what I'm saying about the macro outlook, that's what really drives my bus here at Gunderson Capital or at Southport Capital. That's in the newsletter every week. That has been my guiding light. That's been my North Star for the last 13 years, and it hasn't let me down yet. You see what my macro outlook is by seeing the newsletter and the macro outlook right there smack dab in the middle of it. That newsletter, which you can get 2 weeks free at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.